Beer. We're going to talk about beer. There's Bud and there's Bud Light. You trade off some alcohol, so you lose the alcohol, but you also lose some calories. It's still beer, but it's not, you know, the same fatty Fatterson beer. And that works in a lot of different categories in the grocery store. Turns out it works in financial planning too. Light financial planning. We're going to talk about this as an idea. I've never had this conversation before. Preet Banerjee is our guest. He's a personal finance expert. He is the founder of Money Gaps. Preet, this is quite a little marketing hook you've come up with.
Well, you know what? I just got the idea for a new marketing hook. Tastes great, less filling.
Yes, that's it. Tastes great, less filling. That is the perfect approach here. How is light financial planning different from traditional high calorie, more expensive financial planning?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it really boils down to the fact that not everyone is as enthusiastic about comprehensive deep financial planning as people in the industry. And having been an advisor before, I remember thinking back to meeting with prospective clients and walking them through my sales pitch, which is, you know, look at this financial plan you're going to end up with, 30 or 50 pages that's going to encapsulate every year of your life for, you know, until you die. And then I realized they weren't as excited as I thought they were. And and that's because when we did a little bit of research, we asked people, how often do you actually read your thick financial plan? And the average was less than one.
Right.
Because not everyone reads it and no one reads it twice.
Yeah.
And so if you think about why that is, if you're 30, 40, 50, and someone is saying, listen, we are going to figure out exactly how much you're going to make, all your different income sources, how much tax you're going to pay from the time you're 65 to 90. I'm still thinking, I don't know what my life looks like in 5 years, let alone 30 years. So do we really need to go to that level just yet? And so light planning is kind of like a gateway drug.
Oh, that's good.
It pulls you into holistic financial planning. And so that later on, you're going to be in a much better position to take advantage of comprehensive planning when it's right for you.
So what are the key questions that are like fundamental to light financial planning? The short list that you really have to make some assumptions around or answer?
Yeah, it really comes down to people wanting to know, hey, compared to people like me, how am I doing? And are there any big mistakes that are in my blind spot? So a lot of people equate financial advice with investment advice. And of course, there's so much more to financial planning than just that. And one of the problems with, you know, the comprehensive financial planning and financial advice as it exists today is it's kind of binary. It's basically saying, listen, you're either flying first class to Paris or you're going to build your own raft and find a way to get there. There is no in between. Mm-hmm. And really what light planning is doing is giving people choice. It's like going to, you know, take a look at physical fitness. Imagine if the only option was you're going to get a personal trainer who's going to supervise every single rep for every time you set foot in the gym or nothing. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. There are people who use online classes. There are people who buy equipment for themselves at home. They join a gym but don't have a personal trainer. So really what light financial planning is doing is giving people a lot more choice because it isn't just binary. So you could, you know, maybe just talk to someone about, well, do I have the right sort of protection? Because I just got married, I've got kids, and I heard that maybe I'm supposed to protect my dependents in case something happens. And so that is a very, you know, topical need that they need to address right now. And that is, you know, kind of compartmentalizing some of the financial problems that people have.
How do you think about rules of thumb? Because one of the things that would make it so much simpler is if there were credible rules of thumb that would say, listen, you need to save 10% of your gross income per year. That will allow you to do X by Y date. How do you think about rules of thumb?
Yeah, it's a trade-off. And this is, I think, core to the point. The trade-off is if you're going to rely on, you know, light planning or, you know, even more elementary than that, you know, rules of thumb, you're not going to get the deep engagement, but maybe you don't necessarily need that. You know, if you've just graduated from school and you've got a lot of debt, maybe you don't need to focus so much on optimizing the perfect portfolio. Maybe you just need to figure out a plan for the short term of how do I tackle my debt and maybe start investing, because how much you put away is phenomenally more important than getting the perfect portfolio when you're 25. Mm-hmm. You've got time to figure that out. But the more time you have accumulating and putting money into that portfolio, that is going to make a huge amount of change to your life, you know, 20, 30 years down the road.
I mentioned off the top Money Gaps, which is, I don't know how you describe it, a software platform for financial advisors. What are the key things that Money Gaps allows an advisor to see in short order?
Yeah, so it looks at 8 different areas of someone's life: retirement income coverage, life insurance coverage, disability insurance coverage. Do they have the proper emergency fund? Do they have an estate plan in place? Do they have a budget? So it really covers the gamut, and it's planning centric as opposed to product centric. So you're right, it is a software platform. It's for advisors. We are agnostic about the products that are used to solution the plan. What we do is we identify the gaps based on industry best practices for how much insurance coverage should someone have if they are married and have 3 kids and they've got X amount of coverage at work. And so it allows advisors to produce a higher volume, light planning approach. Most importantly, so that we can start getting better advice to people who don't have a lot of money. Because one of the problems in the industry is if you have a lot of money, you've got tons of choice.
You are set. You got a maid in the shade. They'll fly you to Paris.
Exactly. But if you don't have a lot of money, it feels like you don't have as many options. And so that's where light planning can come into place to help people get to a point where they have that potential so that when they are ready for comprehensive planning, they've just got more to work with.
Where does a retail investor, where does a regular citizen of this country find a light financial planner? Because I hadn't even heard this phrase before, and I've known you for years. How do you then go and find someone, an advisor who's willing to do a small amount of quality work that can set you on the right path without you know, doing the full meal deal?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you from talking to a lot of financial advisors, it takes a shift in mindset for a lot of people to embrace where light financial planning can fit into a practice. So it's in its infancy for sure. It's not a term that is well known, but I think it is going to explode over the next 10 years because we're starting to see advisors offering multiple tiers of service for a couple of reasons. One other thing that is relatively new is that there are a lot of people who make really good money but don't have assets yet, because they have crushing student debt loads. They're saving up for a down payment on a house, which takes 20 years. So they don't have any investable assets, but they got tons of potential. So more and more advisors and the industry are realizing that there is an opportunity to provide a different tier of service, because these clients, these households may become your client of the future. So you want to have some relationship with them. So some advisors are offering it as a secondary tier. There are some advisors who are just saying, I'm just going to do light planning. And then when your situation gets complex, I'll send you off to a paraplanner, or there's a different area in the firm that will tackle the comprehensive financial plans. And we're seeing a lot of different compensation options as well. So we used to see a lot of commissions, you know, DSC, mutual funds. We've seen that shift towards a percentage of assets model. But now we're really starting to see a lot more people embrace a retainer model, or paying by the hour, or fee for service. So we're starting to see a lot of change. It feels like it's happening really quickly in the last couple of years, but it's a slow burn and it will take a while before everything sort of catches up.
Just 30 seconds before we go, are the robo advisors starting to fill that gap?
Not yet. They're under pressure in a couple of ways because they've kind of position themselves to disintermediate the human advisor to a certain extent. But now they could get disintermediated by the product manufacturers who are producing these portfolio ETFs. And so there is a gap when it comes to robo planning. I think we will start to see some solutions there in the next couple of years, though.
Interesting. Preet, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure as always, Bruce.
Preet Banerjee, personal finance expert, founder of Money Gaps. And he was here to talk about light financial planning. Now I am totally craving a beer, though I think it would be full. full strength, not light. No, actually, it would be light. I'll have beer. It's summer.